The Prince Philip week is nearly at an end, you could say. His funeral is late today, Saturday, our time. One thing that's emerged in all the coverage is Philip's life of duty. But what does the term duty mean in contemporary life? Does it have any resonance with younger generations? Or are other words like commitment or responsibility more relevant? Now, we got into some spirited discussions about duty here at Radio National, so we have invited two people to help flesh it out. Mary Zanazzi is a cultural philosopher and writer. She's an associate professor at the School of Social Sciences at the University of New South Wales, and she co-authored with Rowan Williams, the former Archbishop of Canterbury, Justice and Love, a Philosophical Dialogue. She also, in 2013, co-authored a book with the German filmmaker Wim Wenders called Hope, New Philosophies for Change and Inventing Peace. So, look, I think she's the right woman. And Robert Fitzgerald's with us too. He's a veteran leader in the social sector, currently the New South Wales Ageing and Disability Commissioner, former president of ACOS, former Productivity Commissioner, and former Royal Commissioner in the Child Sexual Abuse Royal Commission. So welcome to you both.
Thank you. Hi, good morning.
Now, we're only talking about Prince Philip a little bit here, I might add. We want to move beyond that. But this is what an Australian Financial Review editorial said last weekend, and I wonder if you both agree with it. Philip helped develop the concept of a full-service monarchy and to pioneer the modern concept of the working royal. True service, it wrote, means doing what duty dictates rather than what you would prefer. Now, Mary Zanazzi, does that ring true for you?
It does indeed. And I think one of the things that we need to think about is duty as reinvented or reimagined, because I think the idea of duty does correlate with responsibility. I think there's a real need to see that connection. And I think the phrase there, that what duty dictates, I think maybe the dictates is the problem. It's more about thinking not just about the formality or the legality, but also about our relationships and connections and what our responsibilities are. And that involves other words like devotion, care, these kinds of things, which I think are linked to the idea of duty.
Is it the opposite of individualism?
I think it is, yeah. I think it really has to evoke a service. Service not in that formal sense, but a service to others, a commitment to others.
Yeah. Robert, how do you see it?
Well, I think the fact that so much emphasis has been placed on the duty and the lifelong commitment of Prince Philip shows to us that we actually think that's rare. It's somehow noble. It's somehow honourable. And I think Mary's absolutely right. I don't think duty has disappeared at all, but has in fact been reimagined. It's a lovely way of expressing it. But when you look at what duty is, which is really a sense of moral commitment or obligation to others, and it's contextualised in three ways. It's about the actual result of your own character, it's about your expectations of yourself, and it's about your positional place. And so duty in our lives is ever-present. Duties as a parent, duties as a professional, duties in terms of the way in which we care for one another is there. But young people and many people today wouldn't use that term when they're talking about commitment to others. And I think there's a number of factors that have changed it. One is the rise of individualism. A second is a lack of connected with formal religion, which is a very important part of much of the duty we saw in the past. A lack of notion of citizenship, which has been really a major shift in the way in which we see each other. And I think this notion that I want to be committed to a cause or a campaign, but I want to do it on my terms. So there's no end of goodness and good activity happening by young people and older people, but it's very much more on their terms rather than sort of some imposed obligation. But I actually do think duty is the heart of much of what we do, but I don't think we think of it in those terms.
A choice seems to be very important here, Mary, by the sound of what Robert. Do you agree?
Yeah, but I think the idea of choice is also a problem within our social environments. I think we've got the myth that choice is our own choice, that we, and I think this is a real sort of capitalist myth, that we have all of these choices, that it's our individual obligation to make our choice, and it's a real liberal deception too, I think. And I think actually choice involves the understanding that we are in relation to other people all the time. And I think Robert's point that, yeah, there has been I think religions in the past have provided those scaffolding of morality, of issues, of virtue. But there's no harm, I think, myself, in going back to thinking about how those precepts of respect and dignity, all those things that have religious feeling, can actually be applied in the secular. And I think there's been a void of that conversation. There's been a fear. And I think we've just got to get over that and see how we can actually use these very real feelings as well in practical and kind of political ways.
It is interesting how another thing like that is the Sabbath that has been reimagined, you know, the digital Sabbath, which is very much a borrowing, the notion that it isn't a seven-day-a-week life that there are, and that's a sort of very old and venerable knowledge. But look, is it that modern people would see it as top-down, as imposed? Is that part of the trouble, Robert?
Well, I think the old-fashioned notion of duty is it was, in one sense, it was top-down because of religious leadership or imposition of particular doctrines. Or in the case of Prince Philip, frankly, he was born into it. You know, he was part of a royal regime either in Greece or in Britain. Today, we sort of oppose things that are brought, you know, borne down on us, forced upon us. But there's an odd thing that has actually happened. In fact, our legal duties of care to others have been increasing exponentially in recent times.
That's true.
And for example,
the
as a parent, we have both a moral and a legal obligation to the protection of children. But ironically, we're much less indifferent about our care of our older parents. And that's an issue. And some people say there
we're
should be
a legal... We're much more indifferent, you mean.
Indifferent to it. So some people say there should be a legal obligation for children to look after their elderly. But we would oppose that at the moment.
So you're saying, you're saying that there's an absolute presumption that parents will have a duty to their children.
And we've now enforced it by law. We've turned it from a moral imperative to a legal imperative. And we see that in relation to the leadership of institutions, where they're now required to have a duty of care not only to the best interests of the institution, but to their staff and the workers in it. On a more broad level, we're seeing that the duty of care...
Of course, I've just suddenly heard it. People toss that word around all the time.
Yes, I think there's a problem with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you?
I do. Not because of the legal... I think the legal element of it is absolutely valid. I think the problem is how people exercise it.
Yes.
And I think there's a difference, duty of care, to actually taking care. I think there's a difference in... I think the legality is important... Yeah. But I think actually this is where the moral compass comes in. I mean, you really have to live it. You have to understand what a duty of care is. You can't just tick it off and say, oh, yes, there's a set of policies, let's do it. It's not that at all. You've actually got to live it. You've actually got to feel what it is for that old person or that family member. You've That's got to have true. That conversation, you know.
And if we look at all of those duties of care we've talked about, Mary's absolutely right. The law may prescribe something, but the way in which you enact it is actually, I think, very much about a moral issue. It's about it's an ethical issue. So parenting is a classic example of that. Despite the legal obligations that now exist, and they are real, the way in which you care is much more than that. And part of it is about the ethical and moral framework within which you operate that family, or that business, or that institution, or frankly the way in which you do your job. Mm. And the old-fashioned notion of duty actually has that incorporated into it. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think... Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned it on Sally Sarah on Radio National Breakfast when I did my little promo, and she sort of said duty is different from service, which I think I agree with, but it's left me wondering. Now, do you think they're different concepts?
I don't, actually. No, I'm not quite sure the context of the Sally Sarah discussion. I don't think so, because I actually think there's a wonderful line by Dag Hammarskjöld, the former
UN Secretary General,
which is that holiness is lived through action, and in a sense, action is the service, is the duty, if that makes sense. So it's like the service is what we can do to enact our duties.
Yes, it's funny, Robert. I was thinking that. My instinct is that it's not something you necessarily feel good about, but you do it anyway, which is, I suppose, that's a sort of an extrapolation of what Mary's saying.
Yeah.
Whereas it seems to me younger people say, well, you know, if I'm feeling resentful while I'm doing this, well, what's the point?
So, look, I think duty doesn't have to be a mournful experience. I mean, my own life, I think coming from the faith background, coming from my family values, I do have a sense of duty. I have a sense of duty actually that you live in this world to actually make a difference, and you actually are there to make a difference for good. I see it as a duty. So in a sense, it's an obligation. Mm. But today, my kids would actually talk about it in a different... They talk about a commitment to a cause or a commitment to a service.
The difference is they don't think of it in lifelong terms.
So the nature of volunteering, for example, which is a demonstrable aspect of service, has changed. There are some danger signs. The actual number of volunteers is reducing in Australia, and the volunteer hours are reducing. But nevertheless, they would see it as a commitment to service. But what has changed is it's short term. It's very much, if I don't like it, I'll go and do it somewhere else. So I move around. Whereas the old-fashioned notion of duty in relation to service was almost a lifetime commitment. And the second indication of that is people don't join anything. They don't become members. So they still do the service. Take, say, for instance, Nepal Society, a classic example, based on membership. Now the membership is very low, but the number of volunteers and people helping is very high. Mm-hmm. And that's reflective right across the board. Mm-hmm. So the notion of obligation to a commitment for life has changed.
I'm just thinking that there's also... I was having a discussion with a young activist yesterday, and it was about how do you galvanise people together now? Because a lot of people do have a sense, well, yeah, things are really bugging me, but I don't really know what to do about it. And I think that idea of duty and service means that you have to think a little bit beyond your own interest.
Well, we just have duty, as one listener says, is holding your post against all odds, keeping on doing your task when you may not wish to do so.
Yeah.
Given uncomfortable conditions or war, you must see out your responsibility with which you have been detailed or tasked to do. It takes a commitment to serve others, which very few understand today. Look,
I think that's right.
Yes.
But make one point. I think one of the central issues will be about the re-establishment of the notion of citizenship and the duties and the obligations that means to each other.
Yes.
And I think COVID has absolutely shown the importance of citizenship and community. And I think that will change this dialogue further as we go forward.
For the better?
Absolutely, if we embrace it. We moved away from it. We moved away from this notion of responsibility to each other. COVID showed us how important it was, and I hope it is actually for the good.
Now, look, I hope that we have prompted a lot of conversations over the weekend. Look, thank you both very much indeed for taking up our invitation, Mary Zanasi and Robert Fitzgerald. I've really enjoyed that.